The night was just beginning when the bus dropped me off, seemingly in the middle of nowhere. The bus took off before I could take in my surroundings and realize I was at the wrong stop. At first, I considered waiting at this lonely stretch of road for the driver to realize his mistake and come back for me. But as the taillights faded into the distance and the cold started to set in, I realized I would have to get moving or risk freezing. I started walking down the road, following the direction the bus had gone. It's been a few hours now and the bus never came back. I'm Noah, by the way. I'm 17, and I'm lost in the snow. I have no idea where I am. My phone's battery died a long way back. The air is getting colder and colder, sharper, more biting as I kept walking. Suddenly, I was flashed with light followed by the ring of a class bell. The light illuminated some kind of dark structure in the distance. I thought it could be an office block or something. I decided to go for it, turning away from the road and trudging a path through the fallen snow to the building's entrance. As I approached, I realized that the building wasn't an office at all. It was a school.
Well, I didn't see that coming.
It looked like it had been abandoned. I made my way to the dirty threshold, finding the doors unlocked. Strangely, the building still had electricity.
Hello? Anyone here?
I turned around hearing footsteps, but there was no one behind me.
Ah, what the? Who are you?
You shouldn't be here.
A strange man stood right in front of me, with the creepiest face I've ever seen. His eyes looked pure evil. I've never seen so many teeth inside someone's mouth. An awful smell was coming from his body. That's when I noticed his feet. He had no shoes. His creepy fingers twitched like bugs.
You shouldn't be here!
Look, man, I want to leave too, but it's a blizzard out there and I'm lost.
Fine! Sit in that corner and stay quiet!
He glanced at his empty wrist like he was checking the time on his watch, then looked back at me with an angry face.
I'm going to be late for class because of you.
Class? What class?
Shut up! My students have already arrived! They don't like anyone else's voice!
Great. Now I've run into a lunatic. I watched him walk into the classroom on the left.
Good morning, class. Sorry I'm late.
Who the hell is he talking to? I tiptoed over for a sneak peek and saw the man was writing something on the blackboard. Broken chairs and benches stood opposite of him, on which sat worn-out teddy bears, each with different colors and sizes. The man kept talking to the toys. He was laughing, scolding them like they were all real kids. I thought about leaving, but reasoned he was just being a little creepy. I realized he must be some wacko homeless guy who also took shelter in this abandoned school like me. Maybe he got high and he was just on some sort of trip. After leaving MB, I walked to the end of the corridor. At the end stood the principal's office. I pushed the door open and immediately started vomiting. The foul smell of something rotten choked my lungs. The room was filled with kids' diapers. Yes, used kids' diapers. I don't know how they all ended up in that room, but it was enough to convince me to go back to the highway. I turned around coughing and started running towards the door. Suddenly, the man came out of the class and grabbed my collar. He lifted me in the air and looked into my eyes.
I told you to leave. Why did you go into my room? Are you incapable of following rules?
What the hell is wrong with you? Put me down, you're crazy!
He threw me in the air. I landed on my chest and hurt my knees. The man then lifted his leg to stomp on me.
I hate bad kids! Bad kids need to be punished! Ah! Ah!
Before I could move, he stomped on my palm. He aimed for a second hit, but I rolled away. I got up, clutching my swollen hand.
Look, I'm sorry, man. Just let me go. I'll never come back here, okay?
Now you wanna leave? But it's too late. My class is already in session, and you just made a boo-boo!
He jumped on me. I tried to run, but he grabbed my leg and dragged me into the principal's room.
Time to change your diaper. Don't worry, I have lots of clean and fresh ones.
No! Let me go! Leave me alone!
Just then, the class bell rang again. The man stopped abruptly. He let go of me and again looked at his invisible watch.
Well, lunch break's over. Time to get back to class.
Acting like nothing happened, he completely ignored me and went back to teaching those teddy bears. I got up. Without wasting a single second, I ran past the door and escaped back to the snowy streets. I lumbered through the thick snow as if I were a prisoner who had just made a jailbreak. I fell, stood up, and then fell again, but I didn't stop. When I was approaching the highway, I saw headlights heading towards me. When the lights came close, I identified it as a pickup truck. The driver stopped and gave me a lift.
Whoa, you don't look so good. What happened to you?
Please, just drive! Drive!
Okay.
Once we were finally away from that abandoned school, I told the man everything. He gave me some warm coffee from his flask and took me home. My parents were worried as hell. My dad thanked the truck driver and offered him some money for driving me all this way. The man refused to take it and warned me to be more careful next time. Before going in, I asked the man, "Who lives in that abandoned school?"
"Well, no one lived there for a while. But for the past few weeks, people have been seeing this crazy guy spending the night there. He used to be a teacher at a local school, but the school caught fire one day. No one escaped the blaze alive except him. Not even the kids."
"Oh my God."
"Yeah. People say a lot of things about how sick he is. Some even caught him stealing dead kids' toys from the cemetery. It's better to avoid that place."
I went there in the morning the next day. But surprisingly, the entrance door was locked. I searched the area, but I didn't find any traces of that man.
Christmas might be a fun time for others, but not for me. When it starts snowing, especially when there's a blizzard, I can't help but feel a chill run down my spine. I still remember what happened 3 years ago near Christmas. And I can't help but think that with my luck it could happen again. I was driving home from my Christmas shopping, my car loaded with gifts for my family and my relatives. I was especially excited about the gifts I had gotten from my wife, but I don't think that the weather wanted me home that year.
Weather alert. Blizzard expected in the area. Roads will be closing immediately. All cars exit to the nearest cover.
The radio crackled. I looked around and then cursed. It had been snowing, but the snow was already worsening. I knew the next exit was a couple of miles up the road, and so I figured that I'd have to pull over here and make do. I pulled over, parked my car, and sat back as the wind whistled and howled and the blizzard became worse. I must have dozed off. Suddenly, however, I heard a thumping at my car window. I opened my eyes and saw a wild old man in a Santa outfit, standing outside my car and staring at me through the window. His face was unlike anything I had ever seen. He had a massive, ugly nose with yellowish eyes. His teeth were crooked, and his outfit was wrinkled. The only redeeming quality was his magnificent beard and curly hair. I motioned for him to leave. He didn't move, however, and continued knocking. The only response he gave was a widening grin, which stretched almost unbelievably wide on his face.
"Hey, buddy, I don't want any trouble."
In an instant, he disappeared. He walked backward, fading into the blizzard. I could only see a few feet from the car, and so it deemed as if he had just vanished.
What the actual heck?
I couldn't believe the type of psychos that were running around these days. I sighed and was about to pull out my phone when I heard a thud on the roof of my car. The thudding grew louder, and I could hear his voice shouting unintelligible things. I couldn't understand him, but I knew who was on the roof of my car.
"Get the hell away from me! I'm calling the cops!"
I tried to lean in, away from the windows to the center of the car. I could still hear him dancing and thumping on the roof of my car. And it was freaking me out. Pulling out my phone, I tried to call the cops. It seemed that I had no cell service in this area, however. I didn't know what to do. What happened next, however, forced me to take action. The thumping at the top of my car stopped, and in almost an instant he was back at the window. His face still had that wide grin. He began to scratch and scrape at my window with a razor. It was one of those razors that barbers would use, and it was slowly cutting through the glass. I was panicking, and without thinking, I started the ignition and tried to drive away. The snow had gotten so much worse in a matter of seconds, rendering me nearly blind. As I pressed the gas, my car began to skid and drift on the slippery roads. Suddenly, I felt my car plunge into a ditch. With a sickening thud, I hit a large boulder that was lodged into the ground, and my car's doors flew open. I could see it was dented, and I desperately tried to get it to shut. Chills ran down my spine as I realized the door had jammed open, and I saw Santa Claus in the distance walking toward me. His face was distorted to a malicious grin, and he carried a bottle of whiskey as if it were some kind of trophy. I desperately climbed out of my car, my hands shaking from the cold as I tried to run. I had barely run a few yards, however, when I slipped. The ice had been covered by the snow, and I found myself free falling onto the ground.
Ho ho ho!
I heard a menacing chuckle, and I turned around wildly to see the man standing directly above me. Scrambling backward on my hands and knees, I tried to escape the man, but it was too late. He grabbed me by the collar of my coat and pulled me in closer. He took out a small flask and took a swig. His eyes were wild and unreadable.
"Merry Christmas,"
he whispered in my ears as he tried to force the flask into my lips. I tried to resist, but he pried my jaw open and forced me to drink. My vision went blurry, and then it went black. I woke up in a hospital a few days later, to the sight of police officers with stern faces.
"You might not like your body anymore, but at least you survived."
I guess that Santa wasn't just using that razor to try to get my car open. According to the officers, his actual name was Santa Claus as well. He drank too much and went on a wild rampage, assaulting people with that razor and stealing their Christmas gifts. He got to me, too, and I was lucky that he didn't kill me. Christmas will always have a different feel for me now. And I guess it's true what they say. You never know what surprises the holidays can bring.
This horror story was based on the true story of Santa Claus. Not the actual Santa Claus, but a man with the same legal name. He was arrested for drunk and reckless driving, as well as a DUI during a blizzard. Here, you can see the mugshot of the man who was arrested, who has a beard just like that of Santa.
Hey guys, my name is Trisha. I'm Canadian, but I live in California. I used to be reluctant to leave my country, but nowadays, I prefer to be as far away from it as possible, and I'll tell you why. It all happened one winter night. My husband was in town working late, and I was alone in the middle of some heavy snowfall. The power was out, the entrances and exits were covered in snow, and I had no cell phone signal. Do you know what the worst part of it all was? I wasn't alone. I was trying to light some candles with my cell phone's flashlight as a guide, when suddenly I heard a whistling sound coming from the hallway. I looked out to see what the noise was, and I saw him. He was a terrifying man, tall and scrawny. His face was frighteningly misshapen, and his eyes were shaking. He looked as scared as I was. Maybe he was lost.
"Hey! Who are you? What are you doing in my house?"
"Sorry. I've been here for a long time, but only now have I dared to come out."
"What do you want? Go away now! I'm armed. You chose the wrong place to break into."
I wasn't armed, but I put my hand in my pocket to make him think I had something.
"You don't have to get angry. It's too cold to leave. I just want a hug. Can you give it to me? I hate the cold."
He walked in my direction, so I backed away a little bit at a time.
"Are you crazy? Stay back. I told you, I'm armed."
Ignoring me, he walked quickly to where I was. I ran into the dining room, hiding behind a piece of furniture. I could see underneath, and I could tell he was confused when he arrived. His footsteps began to head toward the stairs, but suddenly, they changed direction and came toward me. I closed my eyes in fear. I froze and cried quietly. The footsteps stopped near me, and when I opened my eyes and looked under the furniture, he was gone. In that moment of panic, I didn't let fear take over. I had to think fast. I rammed the furniture with all my might, and the intruder fell to the ground. I ran as fast as I could to my room while looking back. The man had hit his head, but this didn't seem to affect him, as he kept staring at me as he gathered his strength to get back up. When I got to my room, I locked the door and grabbed a candlestick to defend myself. By the time it occurred to me to cover the entrance with a piece of furniture, it was too late. The man was violently ramming my bedroom door. The blows were of such a violent nature that it didn't seem possible they were even made by the same person. The same person who timidly told me he wanted a hug. The wood of the door gave way and the man entered, with his same shy face and his eyes focused on me.
"Please, I'm not asking much. Why are you rejecting me? I just want a little hug. Aren't you cold?"
With brutal and fearless force, the man grabbed my wrist before I hit him and began to squeeze it. He squeezed it so hard that the candlestick fell to the floor, and I fell to my knees in pain. Even though I lost my weapon, he kept squeezing harder and harder until, with one swift, strong movement, he dislocated it.
"I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you, but you asked for it."
As soon as he finished his justification, the man knelt with me and hugged me. His embrace was very strong. I tried to free myself, but in a matter of seconds, I was losing my strength. I was running out of air. He was squeezing me so hard that I felt like my rib cage was going to explode. I felt that my ribs were starting to give way and my bones were going to explode. I also felt a very distinct pain in my body. It was the man's fingernails. They were very long and sharp, and he was digging them into me as he hugged me. I couldn't scream from the pain because of my shortness of breath, and the man's strength only increased. Suddenly, when I felt like I was going to faint, that my body was going to give up and my spine was going to break in two, salvation came. The light returned to the house, and the radio that I left on so as to not feel alone sounded loudly behind the intruder. In that moment of distraction, I bit him as hard as I could, and he let me go. I wanted to take advantage of this moment to hit him again. I grabbed the candlestick with my left hand and was ready to attack him. But before I did, I saw his face and stopped. His eyes were frozen on me with a huge smile. It was the first time I had ever seen him smile. This man was waiting for me to attack him. He was ready to break my other hand. With the candlestick in my hand, I walked backward. He also stood up and walked toward me. I had only one escape left. I threw the candlestick against the window, breaking the glass, and threw myself through it. When I fell, the snow covered part of my fall, but it was so high that I almost drowned and got lost in it. I found my way to the surface and made every effort to run as far as I could. I looked up at the window and saw that the psycho was also diving. Delayed by the snow, I ran as fast as I could. The cold was too much and my body was freezing, but if I had to choose how to die, I preferred to do it this way. I felt weaker and weaker. I wasn't going to be able to go much further, but I knew he wouldn't be able to either.
"Ah! I'm cold! I don't like it here!"
Those cries of suffering were my only consolation. The man would die with me. Eventually, I ran out of energy and gave in. My body hurt too much. Was it because of the snow? Because of the hug? I didn't care. I just gave in and let the cold take me. I have to admit that when I woke up in the hospital several days later, I thought it was a dream. Some neighbors had seen me and came out to rescue me. Although my neighbors were doctors, they only saved me from dying of hypothermia. But they could only do so much with my broken bones, so they took me to the hospital as soon as the blizzard lost its strength. After I told the police everything, they searched for the body of my attacker, but he was gone. After that, I could never go back to that house again. My husband understood perfectly, and soon after, we moved to the United States. The man who attacked me was insane, and he was never found. I don't know when, but I know that at some point that man will strike again, and I don't want to be anywhere close when that day comes.